It's 5. It's 5:30. I'm Ed Moore, and you're listening to MPBN Radio. Ahead on Main Things Considered, Maine lawmakers have overridden Governor Paul LePage's veto of the state budget, and a decision soon on whether the state will launch an investigation into Governor LePage's interference in a school's personnel affairs. News is next. I'm Ed Moore with this look at Maine news. The Nature Conservancy in Maine has purchased more than 6,500 acres of diverse forest land, including old-growth and subalpine fir forest southwest of Jackman. The purchase from the Plum Creek Timber Company will allow the Nature Conservancy to expand its existing Luthold Forest Preserve to more than 16,000 acres. The property includes remote ponds and nearly 15 miles of streams that provide habitat for eastern brook trout as well as waterfowl and wading birds. Tom Rumpf of the Nature Conservancy says it's an important parcel for biological diversity as well as for recreation.
There are not many places in the North Woods outside of protected lands that have late successional forests left on them these days, and so this is an important addition to the reserve for that legacy piece.
In addition to the Nature Conservancy ownership, the Forest Society of Maine will hold a conservation easement on the property, which is home to the fourth largest contiguous spruce fir northern hardwood forest in Maine. The president of Unity College has announced that he intends to retire from that position effective December 31st. College spokesman Bob Mensinger says Dr. Stephen Mulkey wants to concentrate on some of his research interests, which have included studies of ecosystems and climate change. Mensinger says the board, along with the other Unity stakeholders, will be conducting a search for a person to carry on the school's trajectory. Mensinger says Mulkey has put Unity on the map when it comes to the divestment movement.
We were the first college in the United States to divest from fossil fuel investments in our endowment portfolio.
Mensinger says since then, two dozen other colleges, both public and private, have removed holdings in coal companies from their portfolios. Mulkey took over as head of Unity College in 2011. Mensinger says the search for a new president will be wide open, with a goal of finding the best person for the job. And an Old Orchard Beach woman has pleaded guilty to stealing 15 holiday wreaths and arrangements worth a combined $800 from grave sites in Saco Cemetery to decorate her own properties during the holidays. Saco police say 56-year-old Pamela Golars was fined $950 after pleading guilty to theft. You are listening to MPBN News. This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Ed Morin. By wide margins, the Maine House and Senate have overridden Governor Paul LePage's veto of the $6.7 billion two-year state budget brokered by leaders of the two parties in the legislature. The Senate voted 25-10 without debate, while the House voted 109-37. Mal Leary has our report.
With only hours to go before the current state budget was due to expire, lawmakers have avoided a feared partial shutdown of state government. That possibility was clearly a worry for many lawmakers, including House Republican leader Ken Fredette of Newport.
If we don't have a state budget, I think that we are faced with a state government shutdown. Now, there may or may not be an alternative. Certainly, there's not one that's been tried before. But at the end of the day, I'm going to support this budget.
But other Republicans were not convinced that failing to pass the budget negotiated by legislative leaders would automatically lead to a state shutdown. Representative Deb Sanderson is a Republican from Chelsea.
We do not have to shut state government down if we do not vote to pass this budget today. We do not have to do that. And to say that we're going to shut state government down if we don't pass this budget, that's what I hear as a false choice.
And it wasn't only Republicans who voted to sustain the veto of the governor. Some Democrats believe their leaders have given up too much to the Republicans in the budget deal. Out of frustration and anger with those leaders, they also voted with the governor. Several times, the debate got heated. Representative Gina Milano, an Auburn Democrat, is among those upset with the budget.
The Republicans got exactly what they want, and that was a redistribution of the wealth
the
to the top of the...
The representative will defer. The chair recognizes the representative from Auburn, Representative Bickford, and inquires as to why the representative rises.
Is the representative questioning integrity of other members of the body?
The House will be in order. The chair would remind all members, as emotional as the debate is, to stick to the substance of what is in front of you, to not question the motives of other members.
Democratic House Speaker Eves says the budget is a good compromise for most Mainers who will find things to dislike and to like in its details.
First of which is a middle-class tax cut. Second is a property tax relief for every homeowner in this state. Third is putting more money into our kids' classrooms. And fourth is making sure that we are establishing workforce training programs that increase workers' wages. So we're very proud of the work that we've done.
Governor Paul LePage is no fan of the budget, which he will have to deal with for the next 2 years. He told a morning rally of supporters the document was crafted in secret by the four top legislative leaders of both parties who made a travesty of his own budget priorities.
In the wee hours of the morning, the four people that had their little budget deal, they took monies out of education, took monies that we had earmarked for other priorities of the state.
The governor may not like it, but the budget is now law. It sets the basic spending priorities of state government for the next 2 years. But lawmakers expect that by the start of their second session in January, LePage will once again push for his spending priorities. And they expect there will yet be another budget battle. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
The day started out pretty well for Governor Paul LePage. He greeted nearly 100 supporters at the State House during an impromptu rally, praising his budget priorities and get-tough approach with legislators. But by mid-morning, lawmakers in the House and Senate had overridden his veto of the state budget. Meanwhile, nearly 200 of his opponents were clamoring outside his office and demanding an investigation into his activities. By noon, the Government Oversight Committee announced they intended to meet to discuss just such an investigation. A.J. Higgins reports.
Governor Paul LePage arrived at the Hall of Flags to see something he hadn't seen around the State House for a few months, a room full of supporters who are completely behind his efforts to reform welfare and hold dissident lawmakers accountable for their actions. Defending the priorities that he had originally outlined in his now-rejected state budget proposal, the governor made it clear that he had nothing against asylum seekers from other countries wanting to come to Maine, as long as Maine taxpayers didn't have to pay the freight.
It is not the state's responsibility. It is the federal government responsibility. And they're trying to demonize us.
But while the cheers were fading away inside the State House, a couple of hundred of LePage's adversaries were milling around beneath his office window outside. But instead of cheers, they offered chants.
This is what democracy looks like.
As far as the crowd outside was concerned, democracy was looking a lot like a 68-year-old woman from Phippsburg named Becky Halbrook, who was outraged over allegations that LePage pressured the Goodwill Hinckley Charter School into removing Democratic House Speaker Mark Eves as president. Eves, who was hired by Goodwill Hinckley in May, says he lost his job after LePage threatened to withhold more than $500,000 a year in state funding from the school. LePage acknowledges that he threatened to withhold the funds, but denies that he blackmailed anyone or abused his power as governor. Becky Halbrook said she and her friend, Cushing Samp of Saco, said it was time that Mainers let the governor know that they questioned his tactics.
We are two ladies who decided to do something. We were tired of sitting on our hands and watching things out of control. And it didn't seem that anybody else was going to have a rally.
Among LePage's more strident opponents at the rally was Representative Charlotte Warren, a Democrat from Hollowell who ticked off a litany of LePage's high-profile missteps, starting with his insults to President Obama, to telling the NAACP to kiss his butt, to withholding bonds for the Land for Maine's Future program, to his current interactions with the Hinckley School.
This month, the governor wrote at least two letters to the board of Goodwill Hinckley threatening to withhold public funds from the school if they hired a particular person. Governor LePage has gone beyond embarrassing. He's become a lawbreaker.
Lawmakers have responded to the escalating concerns over LePage's alleged misuse of his authority by calling for a probe at the least and the initiation of impeachment proceedings, depending on how that investigation turns out, at the worst. Independent Representative Ben Shipman of Portland says lately it's the only issue his constituents are talking about.
My phone's been ringing off the hook. My email has been flooded with people from all across the state and in my district saying, keep up the good work. We want an investigation. We want justice. We want accountability.
A representative for LePage said he had no response to the demonstration outside his office. Shortly after noon, the Senate Republican office announced that the Government Oversight Committee would meet Wednesday to discuss allegations that the governor had improperly interfered with Eve's hiring at the Goodwill Hinckley School. For MPBN News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
You're listening to Main Things Considered. I'm Ed Morin. More than half of U.S. businesses with 50 or more employees have workplace wellness programs. The goal is to improve health and reduce insurance costs. While recent studies have cast doubt on the overall effectiveness of these programs, the $6 billion a year industry has an ever-changing lineup of options. One of the more recent additions embraced by some companies and main targets an area of health often overlooked by workplace wellness programs, as we hear from Patty White.
Standing in the peanut butter aisle at Hannaford in Portland, Erin Manhennett is confronted with dozens of options to make her morning smoothie more tasty and healthy.
I want to see what the difference is between peanut butter and almond butter.
Luckily, she's got an app for that. It's part of a workplace wellness program her employer Maine Health offers. Manhennett pulls out her smartphone and opens the NutriSavings app. Here, she can scan an item to find out its nutrition score. Things like avocados get the highest score, 100 points. Potato chips get 0 points.
So the peanut butter has a score of 75, which in and of itself isn't too bad. It's an organic peanut butter.
But the almond butter edges it out with a score of 80, and Manhennett places it in her cart, then heads to the next aisle. These scores are important because if Manhennett can earn a 60-point average for two of her grocery trips every month, she'll get back $10. And so far, she's hit her target every month.
It was exciting just to earn money just for shopping.
The NutriSavings program, based out of Massachusetts, started 2 years ago to fill a gap in typical workplace wellness programs, says CEO Gerard Breedy.
The truth of the matter is that nutrition is the cornerstone of health. And that was an area that was totally underlooked and underserved.
NutriSavings scoring system is designed to make the healthy choice the easy choice at the grocery store. At the end of the trip, a swipe of a card at participating stores tracks your grocery purchases. A few days later, NutriSavings sends an email with an overall score for the trip and offers suggestions for healthier choices. So if, say, you thought that yogurt you bought was a nutrition slam dunk, but it only scored a 30...
We'll explain to you why it is 30 and not 70. Now, we will also show you a list of alternatives, which mean yogurts that are in general from the same brand, and tell you that these score higher and this is the reason why.
There are also financial incentives, like the $10 Maine Health gives back, as well as electronic coupons for fresh produce. Maine Health first offered NutriSavings to its employees about a year ago to complement other wellness programs, says Health and Productivity Director Lori Mitchell.
We've been looking at our data for several years and on the prevalence of overweight and obesity. And, you know, we're not really much different than the rest of the state of Maine in that regard, and that we have an issue.
But just how much workplace wellness programs actually improve employee health and also reduce employer insurance costs is minimal, according to a 2013 RAND Corporation study. Senior scientist Soren Matke says programs that target chronic conditions get the biggest bang for the buck. But those that target lifestyle, not so much.
And so if companies believe they want to do that, they should do that by all means. But they should just not believe that this is going to reduce healthcare costs.
But Lori Mitchell from Maine Health says reducing costs isn't the only goal of workplace wellness programs.
It's also for an employer about that you're an employer of choice, that people are more productive when they're at work, and they're more productive in their personal lives because they're healthier and they're happier and they're generally more engaged.
About 3,000 of Maine Health's 17,000 employees use NutriSavings. Neither MaineHealth nor NutriSavings have any definitive data yet about the effectiveness of the program. But Mitchell says it's unique because it extends out of the workplace and into employees' homes. Erin Menhennett says it's an easy wellness program to undertake.
By far, because you just don't have to do anything. It's like you're already shopping anyway, and it's just remembering to scan a card.
And though Menhennett was already a healthy eater, she says the program has improved her diet further. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.
It's about 12 before 6 on this Tuesday. Time to check the weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
Clouds will close ranks tonight with light showers overspreading the western third of Maine late, patches of fog by dawn, 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, showers will be widespread as a warm front lifts north. Afternoon thunderstorms over western and southern Maine will develop ahead of a cool front. Very sticky, 70 to 75, 60s at the coast. Notably drier air will assume command Thursday. Partly sunny north, more sun than clouds with the bulk of Maine. Low 70s north, 80 south. Friday, sunshine will be abundant statewide. A lovely launch to the holiday weekend, upper 70s to lower 80s. And both Saturday and Sunday hold a solid promise for dry, warm weather. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And for this Tuesday, that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Susan Sharon, Keith Shortall, Eliza Lambert, and Barbara Caridi. Ahead on All Things Considered, the Export-Import Bank, Living on Borrowed Time. I'm Ed Morin. Thanks so much for listening.